Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How you guys doing today? This is Jay, the host of the Hipterist podcast show, The Black Wall Street Journal, The Journey of Success. And today's episode is all about the good, the bad, and the reality of the future of the United States dollar. Now, let's get into the actual subject matter of the episode. The good, the bad, and the reality of the United States dollar, or USD. Let's start with what I call dollar supremacy. Why is the United States dollar so powerful, right? Why is it powerful? I would say there's three main universal reasons why. Number one, the dollar is the only acceptable form to pay your taxes in the United States. The dollar is the only form of an instrument to pay your taxes. You cannot pay taxes with anything else. They only want what they create, which brings us to the second thing. The United States government is the only ones that have the actual authority to print dollars. Now, anyone can have the capability of printing dollars or currency, but that is called counterfeit. That would be illegal, and you would spend a lot of years in prison, period. The United States has the only authority to print dollars. Nobody else does. Well, why is it important? Because, for example, a lot of the countries in Europe do not have the, how should I phrase this? Do not have the capability of printing their own currencies because they all use euros, which is a part of the EU system. So they have a central authority that prints up their currency that all 13... I think it's 9 out of 13 European countries use the euro. I could be wrong. Please fact check it and drop a comment down below or just email me at info@hipterist.com. I answer back all emails. That's info@hipterist.com. HIPTURIST.com. That is, if you sit and think about that for a second, you are a country, a part of a block of other nations, and you don't have the power to print your own currency, you have to ask a superseding governing body to print you currency. That's something. Or you can be like Japan, right? They print their own currency, but the most exports is priced in dollars. So printing their own currency doesn't really benefit them if everything they're sending out and bringing in is priced in dollars, which brings us to the third reason why the United States is just globally powerful economically and financially. Most international trade is done in dollars, and you can only get dollars from the United States government or central banks. So that's what makes the United States a very powerful entity on the world stage, in the realm of economics and of finance. All right, now let's get into the advantages of a weaker dollar or weak dollar advantage. I would say the top advantage of a weaker dollar is that it benefits international bank funding. So almost every single major bank on this planet funds things in U.S. dollars, or they have dollars available to put inside checking accounts, savings accounts, interest bearing accounts, because that's what clients want. They want to lend, borrow, save, and move around mostly in United States dollars. Because the United States dollar is just seen as just a safe bet, a safe currency. So if your country has problems or the value of that local currency falls, you always have dollars. So if the if the United States dollar is weak, then it's cheaper to access and hold. So international banks go after weaker dollars so they can make that available for their clients for loans and savings and investments freely available to actually have. Second advantage, a weaker dollar makes U.S. Exports cheaper. So if you are a American corporation and you make products that you ship internationally, it is going to help your customers overseas purchase your items cheaper, which is a incentive for that international client to buy more of your products. If they purchase more of your products, then that helps you make profit. You make profit, then you have income to give to your employees, and a job is saved. Next reason, a weaker dollar benefits other currencies that you trade in the forex markets or the foreign exchange markets. So for like example, a popular currency is the euro, right? So a weaker dollar benefits euro forex purchases. Reason being is if the dollar is not strong, forex investors are nervous. They're scared. So they're going to put their capital into another currency that seems a bit more stable and a little bit more stronger. And typically that is the euro. So as the dollar gets weak or less in value, the euro typically gets stronger. And so investors are going to put more capital into euros. This also benefits foreign investors who invest in assets priced in dollars. So that mainly benefits the actual stock market, because as the dollar falls, you typically see the price of stocks increase. You also see the price of cryptocurrencies increase, and you definitely see the price of precious metals, gold and silver, skyrocket because they are not correlated to the price of the dollar, which means they don't rise or fall according to the dollar. So if the dollar falls, silver is not gonna necessarily drop. If the dollar increases, cryptocurrency is not gonna necessarily increase. It's gonna go the opposite way. So all this dollar drops is driving the price of crypto and precious metals and other assets, alternative assets out there. And also a quick sad note, quick little spiel about currency rates. So there are two types of currencies, right? You have fixed rate currencies and floating rate. So a fixed rate currency, it's a, if the United States dollar is backed by gold, that means that the federal government via the central bank, the Federal Reserve, they cannot print just a crap load of dollars because it's fixed to a certain amount of gold. And if we don't have that amount of gold in there, then we can't print dollars, right? That's called a fixed rate currency. A floating rate is when you have, when your currency is not truly backed by anything, and anything tangible, anything solid. So in the forex market, a currency is fixed to another currency rate. And that's why you always see ups and downs, like the dollar is doing this, euro is doing this, the Japanese yen is going this way, the dollar is going this way, whatever, all that kind of stuff. That's called a floating exchange rate currency. So it's just like, currencies are not backed by anything of any true value, and they just move around the same as a different currency. All right, and this next part here, I'm going to explain our currency relationship with China. So the United States dollar's relationship with China's wealth. So everyone knows that the United States is China's main trading partner. We import a lot of stuff from China. I would say about 90% of the stuff you see in stores in the United States is coming from China. Like 90%. Not 20, not 40, not 60. I'm going to say 90. Hell, just go in your kitchen, grab any product in there, and see where it comes from. And even if it says it's from Bangladesh or somewhere else, most of those parts are sourced from China. So indirectly, your items are from China. So how international trade works from the standpoint of paying for Chinese goods. How can I explain this? So we import stuff from China, and China has a checking account at our central bank, a Federal Reserve, right? So instead of us handing them like a big thing of like a suitcase of dollars, you know, that kind of stuff, we put the money inside China's checking account at the Federal Reserve. So after that is done, we give China the option to just, you know, keep their cash inside their checking account, or why don't they reinvest that cash in a asset that gets them interest? And the number one asset that the United States have is treasury bonds or treasury notes. You know, a promise to pay a higher price someday for China giving us cash now. That's all it is. And so China says, hey, you know what? I want to own $1 trillion worth of United States treasuries or debt or credit. So we move that cash from China's checking account over to another type of credit account or debt account. And so we then take China's money and spend it on just various stuff, you know, social programs, funding crooked politicians, just all types of stuff. But that's how that works in simple terms. So by China supplying all our products and them being one of the largest entities that finances our debt, because the United States has a serious spending problem. The problem is, in some cases, we don't have a choice but to spend. It's like, you know, the whole stimulus thing going on. Like, we have to spend that cash. You know, I understand that's not popular and that kind of stuff, but you can't let people just live on the streets. That is going to cause problems. That is going to cause civil unrest and just all types of just crazy stuff that you don't want happening. So the government spends money. But this is the main reason why China is so powerful. China is so powerful that United States companies do not care if the Chinese creates similar products and technologies that we have and try to sell in China. Look, I don't care what anyone says on the news. United States companies, by and large, do not care if their patents are compromised in China. They do not care. It's politics. So the question is, why don't they care? And the answer is one thing. Population. Let's check out some numbers here, right? So the world population is at around 7.5 billion people, right? The United States has 300 million people here. China has 1.3 billion people. And if you understand economics, you first understand that having a population of 300 million individuals will cap your profits as a corporation. Like, especially if you've had 100 years of selling products to one population, right? At a certain point, your money is capped, but you will always have a need for more growth because generations change, their needs and wants change, and just stuff changes. So you have to change your business also. But the problem is people's wants and needs and stuff might exceed the amount of profits that you make. So you have to go elsewhere to bring in profits to even fund your activities back at home and anywhere else. So that is the number one incentive to go and set up operations in China. Okay, if you have 1.3 billion people and local Chinese organizations is stealing your intellectual property, you still have a higher probability of bringing in money anyway, right? Yeah, you know, it isn't good, it isn't fair, it isn't cool, but I can understand why United States corporations are like, hey, you know, steal away. I still have the possibility of making money in your market. Period. All right, guys, that was a episode of the Hipterist podcast show, The Black Wall Street Journal, The Journey of Success. Please share the episode, and also feel free to check out our 24-hour news site, blackmediadaily.com, blackmediadaily.com. It is a source of 24-hour news coming straight from various black content creators and journalists throughout the world. Check it out. All right. See you next time.